It's October the 26th, Wednesday night, Lord's Day. Not really Lord's Day, but we're going to call it the Lord's Day.
Right.
Service tonight. Just thankful to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Thankful to be in the family of God. Boy, just a blessing to be saved. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I like to thank the Lord for that good service. Brother Lee Watts showed up last Sunday.
Yes.
And a tremendous job in Sunday school. Tremendous message preaching, much needed. I'll take a surprise like that anytime I can get one.
Right.
It was really good. Good for me. I know it was good for the church. Just really good. Preached a message on Nick at night and taught about how our government is supposed to function.
Mm-hmm.
And you do yourself a favor by listening to that Sunday school lesson, just so you can see how you've been hoodooed by your own government, which is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. I don't know if we got any of them, to be honest with you.
No.
I don't know if these people can speak English anymore or not. But we're thankful tonight to be in the house of God. We want to sing one verse out of hymn here. Says, I feel like traveling on, and I have to admit I do feel like that. And I'd leave, I may drop the hat, and I'll drop the hat, amen?
That's right.
But I'm just about had my fill down here.
Yes, Lord.
I was reading a little bit of Bible this morning. Just happened to be reading Isaiah chapter 6. And I noticed in Isaiah chapter number 6 that the Lord told Isaiah to go. And he said, how long shall I go? Verse 12. He said, and the Lord has removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. I think that's about where we're at, amen?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's pretty slim in the church, not just here, everywhere. It's pretty slim all the way around. I think we've got a little bit of worldly appetite, a little bit of fleshly appetite. We're neglecting the table of the Lord. And sitting at the table of the world, I do believe. But we want to sing a little bit of this song, and we're going to be teaching out of Job chapter 26.
What page?
59.
59.
Yeah. Now, I am looking forward to getting my heavenly home.
Yeah.
I got an estimate on my roof today, and it was $13,000. Now, I've only been allotted $10,000, so do the math on that, amen.
That's right.
Number 59, did you find it, Brother Ed?
Yes, sir.
My heavenly home, wait a minute. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Come on, Brother Eddie. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. We're going to sing that last verse. I made such a mess on that first one. The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Hallelujah, I do feel like traveling on, amen.
Yeah.
Seem like every day get more homesick, amen. I'm sitting there watching a little bit of the news, and I'm sitting there thinking, come on, Jesus,
yeah.
Come get us.
Right.
Oh, my.
Take us out of this mess.
We stopped. We read really quickly last week. We stopped at Job 25. And that last verse of Job 25, which it just got six verses, but it says, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. And you can look in Psalms 22. It's a psalm about the Lord, which starts out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And you look at verse 6, and it says, but I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. The Lord considered himself to be a worm. Job said he's a worm, and if we really knew the truth, we'd admit that's about all we are, is a worm. And the Lord made mention there in Mark chapter number 9 about the worm dying not. Mark chapter number 9. The Lord said this. Well, I missed Mark and went plumb to Matthew. The Lord said this about hell fire. He said, where the worm dieth not,
yeah,
and the fire is not quenched. In verse 43, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It'd be better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's repeated on down through there. But you see that worm, that fire there. Boy, I'm glad I'm going where there's no fire. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm going, praise God, where there's cool spring water from the throne of God, crystal clear. Yeah. I'm going where the streets are gold. I'm going where they're singing, not screaming. Amen.
That's right.
And amen, I believe everything will be good there. I believe I'll be able to run like a young man again and shout all over the place and enjoy the things of God up there. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, I have to admit, I enjoy it down here pretty good, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
The Lord made this earth, formed it to be inhabited, and put me on it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty content here, but he said he made a place far better, and I'm going to be more content there.
That's right.
All right, Job chapter number 26. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson tonight. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, tells us exceeding great and precious promises to us, word, Lord. Lord, we wouldn't even know about them promises if we didn't have the word of God. I'm glad you promised you'd never leave us, no forsake us. I'm glad you promised that you'd be a friend sis closer than a brother. I'm glad you promised us a place called heaven, and you promised to come get us and take us there. Lord, we thank you for the promises of God. We thank you for those that are online listening right now. We thank you for the privilege to live in America, as messed up as it is, Father. It's still the only hell any Christian will ever know, and it's only heaven any sinner will ever know. Thank you for America. Continue, Lord, to use it. Continue to bless it. Help us, Lord, I pray, even tonight. We thank you and praise you. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Job 26, verse 1. But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? Job here, his answer is to Bildad. And Bildad, he's a little sarcastic in those six verses, but he said a lot of good things also in them. But Job here says, how are you going to help somebody? How are you going to save somebody that's in need?
Yeah.
Verse 3, he said, how hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom, and how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? Job here is using a little bit of a rebuke to Bildad here. And you know, the things that Job's mentioned, they're the things the Lord wanted us to do, love our neighbors ourselves, and to love our enemy, and also to do good to them that does evil to us. Job here is kind of putting that same analogy here to Bildad. He says, to whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Now this here is deeper than it's going to sound. But it said, dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. You know, you just take water for granted.
Yeah.
But a lot of thing grows in water. As a matter of fact, you set a glass of water out, and it won't be too long, it'll start growing. I mean, it'll turn green, there'll be stuff start climbing, growing out of it. But he says here, dead things are formed from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof. That's really a deep statement there. Verse 6 says, hell is naked before him, talking about God, and the destruction hath no covering. Let me stop there just a second. I was down, took my wife to the doctor today, down at Bowling Green, and while she was in, I was looking at a book the doctor had there in his office, and it was a pretty interesting book. I may have to get me a copy of that book. The book was called Useless Information, and it was pretty good. In that book, it said back in the 1700s, they had insurance you could buy to keep them going to hell.
No.
I got it for free. Hey, I'm telling you, glory to God, the Lord fixed it up. I'm telling you. I'm a citizen of heaven now. But back in the 1700s, you could buy insurance that would keep you from going to hell. I don't know how good it was, but you could buy it. But I know how good mine is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail.
Right.
I got the best insurance ever. But it says, hell is naked before him.
Mm.
There's several statements made in here about hell. But I'm just glad I'm not going there.
Right.
I'm glad I've got insurance. I'm just telling you, hallelujah. Me and hell ain't got nothing in common. Amen. I try to keep people from going to hell. I was listening to Brother Griffin preach on the radio one day. And he said, y'all please don't let my wife cremate me when I die. He said, I've been trying to keep people out of fire all my ministry. Don't let her put me in the fire. But he ain't going to worry about that. He'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
That's right.
And I will be too. Looking forward to it. Amen.
That's right.
But hell here and destruction has no covering to God. He's able to just look right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7 says, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon north. Hangeth the earth upon nothing. Can you imagine this earth? I'm not real smart, but I've heard it's at a certain angle.
Yeah.
And it's important that it's at that angle. It can't even really function if it's not. Not only that, it spins. Not only that, it's exactly where it's supposed to be. If it was too close to the sun, it'd burn up. Too far away, it would freeze to death.
Yeah.
But Job here says, he hangeth the earth upon nothing. Someone put this planet here. Matter of fact, Isaiah 45:18 says God formed the earth and he formed it to be inhabited.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't just happen. Isaiah 45:18 says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. You know, I guess they call this fake news. They'll get it on a slow train, I'll just tell you that. They can go ahead, the climate change, the fake news, and the global warming, all that stuff. But the one that made everything, he said everything. It don't need nothing to do with man.
No.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
John 14:1. It says, God himself that formed the earth. He wasn't worried about global warming. He wasn't worried about climate change. He wasn't worried about what we've got 20-some years. I believe it was ALC gave us. We just got to the end, 30 years or 20 years or something like that.
Yeah.
God himself that formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. We got a lot of people down here wanting to be God.
That just blows that Big Bang Theory all pieces right there.
Oh, I'll tell you what, you're talking about blowing Big Bang Theory. One of my favorite verses here lately in the Bible is the last verse of Genesis chapter number 8.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, and it's still here, by the way.
That's right.
Seed time and harvest, and cold, and heat, and summer, and winter, and day, and night shall not cease. You got God's word on that.
That's right.
But here, he hangeth the earth upon nothing. You know, NASA can't figure that out. Scientists, it's limited to knowledge. God said the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. He winks and commands men everywhere to repent.
Yeah.
Psalms chapter 17, verse number 30. It says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know, wisdom of the world is foolishness with God.
Yeah.
We really don't know anything of what we ought to know. And would to God we'd strive to learn the things we need to know.
Yeah.
You know, one of the problems we got in our schools today, it's a simple fix. They don't know which bathroom to go to. They don't know many of the rainbow kids now. They don't know what they identify with. They're as confused as a termite and wooden yo-yo. It's a simple fix. Throw this mess out of the schools. Teach our children reading, writing,
yeah,
and arithmetic. And you can teach them history too if you can still find it. I don't know if they rewrote history yet or not. They throw away all the statues and tore all the books up trying to rewrite history. Oh my. But the Lord, it says, He hangeth the earth upon nothing. No one but Him could do that.
Right.
No one but Him could form the earth. Just imagine this, Brother Ed. 2/3 of this earth is water, and yet I'm on dry land.
Yeah, that's right.
1/3 of this planet is dry land,
yeah,
and the water, which it'll bring brought out here in a minute, has a command. It can't go no further.
Mm-hmm.
The waves roar, but they only get to go so far, then they got to go back again.
That's right.
Says verse 8, He bindeth up the waters in His thick clouds. It rained a little bit today. And the cloud is not rent under them. The clouds are what carries the rain.
Yeah.
And sometimes, but it's a gully washer, and sometimes it's just a little old rain like it was today.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here that he bindeth up the waters in His thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. If a cloud did rent, I guess somebody would be drowned. There'd be a house just disappear.
Yeah.
Be like pouring a bucket from heaven. Says, He holdeth back the face of His throne and spreadeth His cloud upon it.
Mm.
Now, God's throne is in the north. And you find that in Isaiah chapter 14.
Yeah.
It says, And He compasseth the waters with bounds. So I was telling you about them waves. Until the day and the night come to end. They've got like what's called high tide,
mm-hmm,
and they've got what's called low tide.
Right.
And that's controlled by the gravitational pull of the moon. Now the earth is rotating, and the moon's just right there. And when the earth gets close to the moon, I guess that pulls at low tide. When it gets further away, I guess that's high tide. But the Lord, He holds back the waters. He put bounds on them that they couldn't go no further. He commanded them. Let me see if I can find this scripture here. Look at Psalms 33:7 and Psalms 104, verse 9. Let's see here. I think Psalms 104, verse 9 might be the one I'm looking for. Thou hast set a bound. Talking about the waves, Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over.
Mm-hmm.
Said, who laid the foundation of the earth, verse 5, that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment, and the waters stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go down by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. God gave them a commandment that they couldn't go but just so far.
Yep. Because He's already flooded the earth once, and He didn't want it flooded.
He can flood it again. He made a covenant that He wouldn't do that no more.
So He set boundaries on it, didn't He?
Sure did. Psalms 33 says, verse 7, He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap.
Mm-hmm.
He layeth up the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I'm just telling you, God is in charge. Thank God he is.
Yeah.
Try to imagine. I mean, it's bad enough right now. But just try to imagine the world without God. Amen. He makes sure that man can't make too big a mess. He says he holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. You know, one of these days the clouds are going to spread.
Yeah.
And the world's going to see him. You find it in Revelation chapter 6. And playtime's over. The laughter stops. The jokes stop. All the mocking stops.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, right now, God's up there and we're here, which is what he wants. He wants you to come to him. You don't have to, but he wants you to. He wants you to know him personally. You don't have to. You can deny his existence. You can claim to be an atheist. By the way, even the devils believe in God and tremble, James 2:19.
Right.
But anyway, in Revelation chapter number 6, it says, verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untiming figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll. Boy, them clouds is opening up. When it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, that includes old Chi up there in China, that one just got reelected for life, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that what? Sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Right now, he's on his throne. But the clouds cover. He's got a covering.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to open that up. And the world's going to see him sitting on that throne.
Yeah.
And boy, I'm glad I made preparation against that day, man. It says, he hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and the night come to an end. Oh my. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are part of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? I've seen video recordings of lightning, and you just saw something there, and a big bolt of lightning hit it, and it just disappeared, disintegrated.
Right.
The thunder of his power, who can understand? I'm sure a man can explain it away. I'm sure science has got the answer. But I tell you what, they better be careful out there on that rainy day when it's thundering. They better be careful out there. A lot of people have found out about the thunder of his power. They'll understand it then, Brother Ed, when they're burnt to a crisp.
Yeah.
One man, I think he's been struck by lightning like 6 times. I don't know what he's doing, but he needs to quit. Chapter 27, verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who taketh away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, he said, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Now, that's a pretty good thing to do for all of us.
That's right.
Job said, I'm not going to speak wickedly.
Nope.
I'm not going to utter deceit. He said, verse 5, God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. Old Job, he's holding on. Yeah. Now, I want you to know, buddy, he's in the midst of some terrible suffering.
Yeah.
He said his friends are miserable comforters, but he said, y'all are not going to remove mine integrity from me. And let me see. That rings a bell here. God said this about Job in Job chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, and there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Job said, I'm still holding, boys. I'm still holding on.
He's righteous.
Yeah.
That's where verse is.
Yeah, he said, my righteousness I hold fast, yeah, and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. That's Job, right. He might be holding on to just a thread, but he's holding on. Amen.
Yes, he is.
He said, let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? He's been accused of being a hypocrite.
Yes,
for what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he have gained, when God taketh away his soul? You know, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Job here, he's dead serious. He said, I'm not a hypocrite. He said, I'm holding on because I've got something to hold on to. Verse 9, he said, will God hear his cry when trouble come up upon him? The Bible talks about in the book of Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. A hypocrite is someone that professes that they know God and yet they don't know him. The Bible mentions in Titus that they profess they know God, but in works they deny him. It just don't add up, is what I'm trying to say.
Hi, Ashley. Hi, Sarah.
It says,
nine.
God will hear his cry. Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? He said, I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will not conceal. Job says here, he said, I'll teach you if you listen.
Yeah.
And he said, I won't conceal. I'll tell you everything I know.
Everything.
If you want to know something about God. And Job does know God.
Yeah.
And God knows him. God recommended him for this challenge. And this ordeal Job's going through. God said, ain't none like him, buddy. Perfect man.
Yeah.
Upright, one fears God, excuse evil. Verse 12. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are ye thus altogether vain? This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. He said, if his children be multiplied, it is for the sword.
Yeah.
If his offspring, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Job's sitting here saying, you know, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? He's talking about not going to prosper by living wickedly. He said, the Bible even mentions about the way of transgressors is hard.
Yeah.
He says, verse 16, though we heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. That's about true. We've got a lot of corrupt men in this world down here. They think they're going to live forever. And they think, you know, that their house is going with them when they die. But all they're doing is gathering it for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it says they heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment. They can't even wear all their clothes. They've got stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And he says, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He buildeth his house as a moth and as a booth that the keeper maketh. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He shall open his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold on him. You know, I used to read a book in here called Voices from the Edge of Eternity.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to laugh, make fun, put down Christians and church and God. But when it comes time to die, it's a little different.
Yeah, that's right.
Terrors take hold on him. I remember reading about this one Englishman. They said from 3 miles away you could hear him screaming,
wow.
Help me, they're coming for me. They're dragging me down. His nurse left him. She said, for all the gold of Europe, I'll never sit with another infidel. He was rich, but it didn't help him when it come time to die.
No.
All his friends come to visit him and said, hang in there. Don't Don't give up. Don't give in. Well, he did hang in there, but he did have to give up and he did have to give in. He was screaming. Aaron, buddy, it wasn't all that he thought it was going to be. When it comes time to die, let me tell you something. Every one of us has got an appointment with death, whether you're saved or not.
That's right.
And if you are saved, this is what it'll be with you. Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen, if you're saved, you ain't got a thing to worry about. If you're not saved, you'll scream bloody murder. If you're not saved, I'm telling you, you'll lose all your dignity. You'll lose all of your reputation as whatever you've accomplished in life. But the redeemed, they will fear no evil. Here's why. For thou art with me. You'll have company when you're going through that valley. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You'll have company and you'll have comfort in the valley of the shadow of death if you're saved.
Right.
Now, one time I thought I was dying. I may not have been, but I sure thought I was. I was pretty persuaded I was. But I will tell you this.
You were ready, wasn't you, brother?
I wasn't worried about it a bit.
No, that's right.
I got to thinking positively about dying. First time I ever thought about positively about dying. I thought, well, I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more. I'm going home, going to see my Jesus. And I have to admit, I think I got one foot in heaven. My wife come over and put a finger in my face and said, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday and you need to be there. Scared me, scared the paramedics, scared the doctors, scared the nurse. And whatever it was that had a hold of me, it scared it too. It left. And I drove us home. I had to sign all kind of waivers and everything. It had been about 30 years ago. But I have to admit, she interrupted my exes. I'll tell you it right now. But here...
But it was meant to be, brother.
Yeah. Terrors take hold on him. The Bible mentions in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it's verse 31, it's a fearful thing. Fall into the hands of the living God.
Yeah.
Saul, before he became Paul, Acts chapter 9, he ran into Jesus.
Yes.
He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. I mean, he got over his problem with Christians and church.
Yeah.
He quit persecuting Christians that very minute.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't go a single second further. Matter of fact, he left that place blind, had somebody lead him by the hand. And Ananias come over and pray for him, get his sight back.
Yeah.
But terrors take hold of him as waters, and a tempest stealeth him away in the night. Now I've got angels coming for me. They may come tonight, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And they show up, Brother Ed. They say, Ed, you want to go home tonight? I said, Lord God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They said, well, we've come to escort you there. I said, here am I.
That's right.
But you notice here it says, terrors take hold on him as waters. One thing about water, it shakes. And a tempest stealeth him away in the night. Boy, I'm telling you, buddy, I feel sorry for these people ain't saved. This verse right here ought to speak volumes to people that are lost. You got terrors coming your way. You got a tempest that's going to come. That man that died that night, that rich infidel, he said, they're dragging me down. Help me. They're dragging me down. The fire, the fire, the fire. You know, I'm not trying to be like a theater here tonight, but they said you could hear him for 3 miles. It scared that nurse. She left the room.
Yeah.
He said, they got chains. They're binding me. They're dragging me down. The fires are coming up to get me. I'm not trying to scare you tonight, but I'll tell you one thing, buddy. When it comes time to die, you better know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, I am the resurrection. He said, I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. He said, I've got the keys of death and hell. You better know him. When the devil comes to get you, you'll wish you'd made an effort to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm glad I've done made preparation against that day. I'm glad it's well with my soul. I'm glad the devil can't lay no claim on me. Verse 21. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. There's no way you can stop.
No.
what's coming your way if you die lost. I'm just telling you.
That's right.
The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Yeah.
Hey, I couldn't die if I wanted to. I got eternal life.
Yeah.
All I'm going to do is give this old body back to the earth that gave it. Now I'm going back to God. It really gave me the life that I've lived now these 68 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to him that gave me the first breath. I'll tell you, one day I'll breathe my last breath here, but I won't need no breath there. Amen.
That's right.
Said he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. Oh my. Boy, I feel sorry for these people that ain't saved. Let me read another verse here real quick. In the territory we're in, I had no idea it was going to go like this.
That's good.
But, you know, it says here, God shall cast upon him and not spare.
Yeah.
It says here, in Psalms chapter 55, might be in the wrong chapter here. Let's go to 50. I thought I was in the right one. Yeah, Psalms 50. I was in the wrong chapter. No wonder you can't find it. In Psalms chapter 50, verse 22, God says, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces, and there be none to deliver." It says, God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. You would run away if you could. You would escape if you could.
Right.
Fain means you forget it. You're not going to accomplish. He would fain flee out of his hand.
Yeah.
Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. I'll just tell you, but Job said, "My witnesses, my records in heaven, my witness on high." I'm glad I'm like Job. He's going through this, but Job is not worried because he knows that his Redeemer liveth, and latter day he'll see him upon the earth. No worms destroy my body, out of my flesh I'll see God. Now Job's got a different resurrection than I do. For one thing, I ain't going to the grave. Another thing is, I'm going to have a body like his. But Job's got an earthly resurrection, goes to an earthly grave. But Job died in faith. I'm living by faith. And Job lived by faith. But I'm living after Jesus gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I got born again saved. I'm in the family of God. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm telling you, I got the promise that Job wanted. It's just Jesus hadn't been born yet.
Yeah.
Hadn't died yet. Oh my. Verse chapter 28, verse 1. Surely there is a vein for the silver. I'd like to know where that's at, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
And a place for the gold where they find it. Boy, I'm telling you, I wish I had the direction where the silver and the gold is. I don't really need it, but I probably would enjoy digging for it. Amen. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all the perfection, the stones of darkness, and the shadow of death. That's a pretty deep verse right there.
Mm-hmm.
He setteth an end to darkness. Boy, I'm glad, amen, I'm in the light. Hey, I'm a child of light.
Yes.
And God's the one that lights the candle of every man. He lighteth every man that cometh in the world. But he put an end to darkness on me, amen. I have to admit, I'm walking in the lights. He's in the light. I've been having sweet fellowship with the Lord all day long. And he said, it searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness, and the shadow of death. I'm glad I don't have to worry about death no more.
Right.
I don't have to worry about perfection no more. Why is that, Brother Eddie? Well, let me read you a verse here. Because everybody wants to be perfect. Everybody wants to do right. I run into a lady at the grocery store, and I said, "Buddy, everything's went up but the price of heaven." And she said, "That's right." She said, "You better hope you go there." I said, "I am going there."
Hope you go there.
She said, "You better hope you're good enough to go there," or something like that. I said, "I am, lady." Now, here's why I said that. In Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 2, verse number 10, says to make the captain of their salvation perfect, their suffering. You see, the Lord suffered. He suffered my sins. Mm-hmm. And through His suffering, which was accepted, that God said in Isaiah 53, there remaineth no more need for sacrifice, it made the captain of my salvation perfect through Him. Not through me, through Him. And now I've got a perfect salvation. Until you find fault in Him, I'm good to go. And He made the perfect sacrifice. He suffered the perfect suffering. Might as well read that Isaiah 53 here, so we probably got some people out there that ain't quite got this. But in Isaiah 53, amazing thing, verse 1 says, who hath believed our report? That's about true today. They just won't accept it.
No.
But it says here, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. He hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus was offered for me, and I accepted that offering.
Right.
And he says, and he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This is a very important verse, verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That ain't actually the verse I'm looking for. Hold on a minute here.
Are you in Isaiah 53?
53.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I guess that is it. He's satisfied the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. There in verse number 11, I think the verse I'm looking for is actually in verse Hebrews. But he said he made his soul an offering for sin. He paid the price. I owed a debt I couldn't pay.
Right.
He paid a debt he didn't owe.
Right.
But he made his soul an offering for sin. And verse 11 says God was satisfied with that offering. And I want to go to the book of Hebrews again, because it says there remaineth no more sacrifice, no more need for sacrifice. Just accept right. what He has done.
Right.
In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This man, verse 12, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
Amen.
And verse 14, by one offering, again here, he hath perfected
yes.
forever.
Amen.
Them that are sanctified.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And let's see if I can find another one here real quick. I want to read this. It ain't the one I'm looking for, but in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, for Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, are now to appear in the presence of God for us. And I'm going to read on down here. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered in the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then he must have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. He's got this covered. I was looking for the one where God said there remaineth no more need for sacrifice, but Jesus, he finished it on the cross. He didn't make a down payment. He said it's finished.
Amen.
And thank God. Amen. Let me see if I can find where I was here.
Oh.
Oh, I think I'm in 28. Yeah. 28.
Oh yeah, you're in 28:5.
It says, I think I was in verse 3. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant Even the waters forgotten of the foot, they are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, it's a good verse right here. Listen to this. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, listen to this, and under it is turned up as it were fire. Some years ago, Russian atheist idiots drilled a hole down in Siberia.
Yeah.
Over 2 miles deep, hit a hollow place, the drill bit spun. They stopped the drilling, pulled the drill bit out, and when they did, a winged creature, I've got the written account of this, and I've got also a cassette tape of this, as they pulled the drill bit up out of the hole, a winged bat-looking creature with large fangs and claws and a tail come up out of that hole and screamed at them, and them men ran plumb out of their shoes. It scared them to death, and that thing flew off, and they are just plumb dumbfounded at what they'd done. But anyway, they let a microphone, because they could hear something, they let a microphone down that hole until it finally burned up. But as they let that microphone down that hole, you could hear the scream of the dam. I've got the cassette tape. You can actually hear it. There's one woman, very distinct, screaming. A lot of men screaming. But you could actually hear the screams of hell. And it's pretty alarming to listen to. It's pretty alarming to read about it. It's kind of like everything else, just kind of rushed, erased and removed. But I still got the article. I still got the cassette tape. It will raise a hair on your head. But Job here says, under the earth is turned up as it were fire. You can forget about hell freezing over.
That's right.
I'm telling you, God made hell for the devil.
Yeah.
Matthew 25:41.
His angels.
And I'm telling you, it's a fit place for a devil. My pastor said he likes his devils well done.
Right.
We'll stop right there at verse number 5.
Okay.
That's a good lesson tonight. The Bible says we're not supposed to be hearers only, but doers.
Yeah.
And it'd be good to apply what we've talked about tonight to your own life.
Mm.
The Bible says, examine yourself, prove yourself, know yourself, whether it be in Christ or not, said to be reprobates. Listen, we're not going to live forever. Man's got appointed time on the earth. Our life's but a vapor, perish for a little while. I'll just tell you, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
If it happens tonight, somebody lies tomorrow, says anyway, died, don't believe it. I'll be more alive then than I am right now.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus said, I've come down that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If your life stinks right now, why don't you go to Jesus and get filled up with life.
Yeah.
Get an overdose of it. Everybody wanting to get high? Get higher than you've ever been. I've been on this high now for over 34 years. Out there at work, they'd come by wanting to do a drug test. I'd tell them I wouldn't pass. They said, you're kidding me. You won't pass a drug test? I said, no, I've been high on Jesus for 20-some years. But I'll tell you right now, boy, a good dose of Jesus. No matter what you're going through, a good dose of Jesus will help you. Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight, for this message tonight. I pray for those, Father, that listen tonight by way of the internet, by way of the live stream. I thank you for Brother Ed being faithful, Lord, to do his part in this ministry. Lord, me and him, just the only ones here tonight. Lord, we want to do our best, Father, to be a blessing. And I know, Lord, you said you'd reward us. Lord, one day, Father, you'll say, well done. And we'll live in the joys of the Lord. Boy, what a time we'll have. Bless, I pray tonight. Help those tonight listening, Lord, that they might make sure. Lord, make it sure. I pray, dear Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 17 total tonight, brother.
Good lesson.